Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry, Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road. And recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
All right, what's up, guys? Connor Ferguson and Rob Gray here to preview this Saturday's spring football game happening at Jack Trice Stadium. 11 a.m. kickoff, if you haven't heard that yet. I've seen it out there a little bit. I feel like it's out there a lot less. I'm getting asked about when's kickoff, when is this, a lot. But we're here to preview the spring game. Real quick before we start this thing, Cyclone Fanatics coverage of Iowa State spring football is once again presented by our friends at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape. Remember our friends at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape for your lawn treatments all season long. Let the pros handle your chemicals. Visit aplusslawn.com for details on all of the other great things A-Plus can do for your home, like irrigation, lighting, design, and building projects and more. Thanks to A-Plus Lawn and Landscape for sponsoring our coverage of the Cyclones this spring and bringing you guys this podcast previewing the spring football game. It's a great time of year, Rob. Hockey playoffs, everything's going on.
NBA play-in games.
NBA play-in games that I found out was a play-in game about 10 minutes after I tweeted you, yep. Knowing the Lakers would pull it out in the play-in round. 3-0 all time.
Made the finals last year out of the play-in.
Hey, we're a play-in program. That's what it is in Los Angeles.
Doesn't matter where you finish in the standings, as long as it's top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Still no. Be top two in the league.
You're absolutely correct. I've been really excited to get to the spring game. I know for, you know, a few years we didn't have one here, and you know, it just feels like there's a void with having all these practices that you're not watching. Then you obviously, it was Carson Willits this year, but you expect, like, hey, there's going to be this detrimental injury that just happens out of nowhere. And you know, if you finally get the spring game back, I'm ready to very much overreact to this after Saturday's game. I know your message coming on here was don't react. Yeah, it was don't react at all this Saturday.
Underreact.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's always and I'll be doing it for Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette, five things to watch. Could very just as easily as someone mentioned to me, I think it was Randy Peterson, I might do five things not to watch, you know. Because you're not gonna learn much, but it is a way, if the weather's, well, no matter what the weather, to get the tailgate crews all together, to get that feel of being a game day experience at Jack Trice Stadium and see the guys running around. You get a little bit of scrimmage, taste of scrimmage. You'll usually see a couple guys make a few plays that pop, and then, no, it's all over, and we get to briefly talk to Matt Campbell and select players on the field. So
we'll get everything they say.
Yeah.
I expect a close, tight finish down to the end of the game. I want to ask about clock management game management.
That's very important.
That's going to be my angle for that post-game story for great. Sure.
And then you can ask about uniforms too. Yeah.
They might be unveiled Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the Jack Trice ones were unveiled last year at the spring game. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them on Saturday.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is the Jack Trice thing going to be an annual thing now? Or
I don't know.
Was that not mentioned?
I'd like to see that.
It should be.
You guys remember the Pittsburgh Penguins had those like classic blue, like I think they were kind of a faux back.
Tertiary
blue. Technically they were tertiary, but the same shade of tertiary. I know what tertiary means. I know it's not a shade. Yeah, but it was like this beautiful light blue, and they would just wear it like 8-9 times a year, kind of like the Stars did a little bit with their Winter Classic jerseys. I love stuff like that. I mean, wear them once a year. It'd be cool, yeah. I think. Or, I mean, new design every year, like a city. I don't know if you could swing that. I'm not sure what the logistics of that were.
Do a city jersey?
Yeah. Well, it'd be your Jack Trice jersey. That'd be sweet.
No, there'd have to be a city, too. We're going far afield here. It says Ames on the helmet.
That's enough.
I opened a can of worms when
this is a uniform podcast now. Thanks to A+ Lawn Care. Appreciate you guys again for sponsoring this one. Do you want to go position by position? Because I'm really, really excited to see how J.J. Cole looks in this game, and also how Connor Moberly, you know, performs in kind of his first. Do you call that spring game a true game set? You guys know what I'm trying to say. His first.
Well, Coach Campbell talked about
fans in the stands on field action.
When we got him on Monday, it's the first time at this level playing where there's fans there. And that's a different experience. That's one of the reasons why a couple of years ago, he took him out for a couple of open practices to Ames and Gilbert and to give those guys a feel. It's not a game day experience, but it is different than just sitting in practice or scrimmages where maybe a select group of folks are able to be there, but you're going to have everyone can come and watch.
Yeah. And obviously
so let's go position by position. Go back to that question.
Do you have anything else from the quarterback spot aside from, and I mean, this battle is not going to be won Saturday. It's going to be a summer long thing to see kind of who gets the number two spot, and will you truly figure that out until a few games in the year? Who knows? Right situations have to arise for any clarity, I guess, on that to be figured out, unless of course it just gets out.
They usually don't figure it out necessarily in fall camp. You get a clear number one, and obviously based on what Rocco did last season, he's the clear number one. But remember, coming out of fall camp last season, you know, it was not a clear number one.
No, they were neck and neck. JJ had those.
That's why JJ got those snaps, and
he had a couple of rushes in that game. I remember
he tucked and ran. But Rocco slowly pulled away there. We know the talent JJ Cole has, of course, not just from stars, but the arm talent, the ability to move, being as big as he is really impressive. Coach Campbell was raving about him and Connor Moberly, and you know, you still got the JUCO transfer on scholarship, I think, Tanner Hughes.
Wasn't
used situationally last year, but that potential still exists. But I think what stands out to me is just the way his numbers were really good last season, but I think it just scratched the surface of what he can do. Based on his efficiency, his poise, the type of stuff we saw frequently from Brock Purdy, it feels like Rocco is already right there and can even deepen that. You know, I don't want to call it a zen quality, but just not panicking. Now, we're not going to see a whole lot in the spring game. I think they'll probably all throw fine balls. They'll all hand it off crisply, cleanly. That's a room that everyone's excited about. And the speculation everyone has is, oh, JJ, when is he going to enter the portal? You know, I mean, all indications he certainly hasn't. And but you have to account for that. In any program, there'll be attrition, particularly at that position. But right now, they're high on all those guys, and obviously recruiting guys.
Alex Mansky coming out of
Algona to be a part of that mix next season as well.
Absolutely. If you don't follow recruiting closely, Mansky, Iowa State beat out Texas A&M to get him a pretty highly sought after prospect. So good problem to have in that room. Fun fact about Tanner Hughes. He's from Chico, California, home of the Gold Cup Race of Champions at Silver Dollar Speedway. That Brad Sweet and the High Limit series now promote.
That's one of the good tracks that's still hanging on in California. They used to have a ton of dirt tracks.
They're still there. The fires are very complicated with them, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's mostly Northern California, right?
Yeah, somewhat like that. Somehow Stanford was still 3 hours from any of them. I wanted to go to one. I wanted to drag Tommy to one with me when we were out there for women's basketball. Now, let's get to running backs, though. Abu Sama, obviously the number one starter coming into this thing. I've heard Dylan Lee is making a massive impact early in spring practices. I've heard, everyone I ask, he's getting better every day, just has a different motor than, you know, other running backs they've seen. That in this isn't a player comparison. Don't, and the person that said this to me was not comparing him to that player either, but guys like David Montgomery and the great running backs Iowa State has seen, Breece Hall, he has the same motor is kind of what I've been told. So I'm really amped to see what he can do on the field.
Yeah, Campbell mentioned him as a guy that's made some plays that pop. You know, true freshman, but out of
Brockburn, U.S. Army All American game.
Yeah, U.S. Army All American out of Gilbert, Arizona. But I mean, don't sleep on Carson Hansen, who is, and I think Jalen.
Don't sleep on Jalen Jackson. Jalen, we're going to go back and forth here.
I mean, you're looking
Arlen Harris Jr.
Great leader from everything I've heard.
I have heard that about AJ Arlen. I forget what he told me. I literally asked him, like, what do you want me to call you?
Yeah.
I forgot what he told me. So,
but Hansen, I think skill set as a receiver is really going to enhance what Mauser is able to do play calling wise, you know, with 1 year of experience under his belt. You saw it at times last year, and you saw Nate Shielhaas implementing or utilizing him in that way, and even Abu to some extent. But apparently Jackson's really good at that too. And then you throw in how he can help in the return game with Jalen.
You have a lot of dynamic athletes in the running back room alone.
Different sizes, help different strengths.
Yeah, little utility pieces that you can put around your offense to enhance it. And I think that's a really big skill to have, especially all being in one position group as, you know, this big unit. I've heard good things about Tyler Roll too. I heard he's a beast coaching wise, and you know, I just what I hear. So don't, the fans are going to come after the offensive line thing when we get there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I've heard good things about him. Just difference maker, being, you know, the new running backs coach, you don't know how well guys are going to mesh. You don't know how well guys are going to mesh in 6 months, you know? So,
And assistant head coach. I mean, when we had,
yeah, you're right. Good point.
When we had Abu and Carson, they both talked about how much, you know, energy and enthusiasm and knowledge he brings to the room and to them. So they're really juiced up about it as well.
And I think that pairs well. And I'm coming out with a story later this week on Coach Mauser for you guys. But he never wants to lead in I'm paraphrasing, and I'm not saying the exact phrasing, but he doesn't want to be an intimidating, like, he doesn't want to lead by scaring, you know, lead by intimidation.
He doesn't want to be a dictator.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially. And he's a high energy guy, wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's a big hockey guy as well. And I think that meshes really well with Coach Roll. And, you know, as if it meshes, if it has chemistry, it's bound to be decent, if that's a fair thing to say. But going forward, you know, how well, all these guys are kind of early in their coaching careers on this offense, but it all sounds like they're really working well together. And I'm excited to see how that plays out going into this season with the roster Iowa State's got. I do, and I think the fans do too, expect really big things out of this team.
Yeah. And you mentioned Coach Roll and but Coach Clanton, and you're just adding guys who have play calling experience and the type of, you know, as again, a pretty young group overall, still has a massive amount of snaps that they've called or been a hand, had played a hand in calling. And I know in the past they've talked about how much of the collaboration there is, and anyone can bring up an idea, whether they found it on social media or whatever. And that's, as Coach Mauser said to all of us, is something he still welcomes as well. So I think, you know, how creative will they be? You know, they were creative at times last season, maybe not so much at times, but I think we'll see more of the same, but definitely with some new wrinkles. When you got new faces, you're going to get some new wrinkles and new dynamics between, you know, pre-existing and new relationships as well.
I know, was it going into last season that it felt like it was a five-headed monster type of thing at running back? And that's never going to be true at any running back position. Yeah. But that was kind of what was being said, as every guy was really close to one another. Now it's, I mean, it's not Abu and the gang. I think he'd rather me say it's another five-headed monster again. But even with NIL and the portal and everything that's changing, you got a recruit, a transfer, and three guys that were there last season, you got five there again. So
yeah,
really set up in a good spot for the running back room, and we'll see how that pans out. Do you want to go tight ends or receivers next?
Let's go tight ends.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. Just to go back to Taylor Mauser, Steve O'Klotz, I think it's going to have a really good year. Mouse loves Klotz. Just about every time he's on the microphone last year, because it's far less as the tight ends coach than it is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Every interview I did with him, he would bring up Steve O'Klotz, and it wouldn't take 3 minutes, and you didn't even have to ask about him. I think he'll use Steve-O a lot this year. I think Steve-O is going to turn into a really good player. Just get ready for the breakout.
Well, and Steve-O is shown.
I shouldn't say he is a good player.
He's more than just a blocker. He's more than just that F position or whatever. Kind of like hybrid fullback / tight end. Because there, and I can't remember exactly, but I went back at some of the athletic exploits he had at Chaska, Minnesota, and he did some pretty remarkable things. And I think his athleticism is going to, you know, show itself at times this season. So you can use him more. We saw him in the passing game, kind of touchdown pass last season, but I think we can see that more. And then when you surround him with Ben Bramer, who, if he's not going to be a, you can call him Ben or Benjamin. That was my story. He said he's fine. It's fine either. He kind of prefers Ben a little bit because, you know, when parents are mad,
I'm glad we're getting our name.
They tend to do the Benjamin, you know? But I mean, Tyler Moorback, Gabe Burkle, they were high on him last year. A number of these guys got banged up a bit last year. Tyler Moore has gotten banged up a lot, obviously, but a lot of guys in this group, Cooper Alexander, a true freshman, was a guy that I believe Coach Campbell brought up as being extremely impressive. We heard a lot about Andrew Keller last year, you know, going into the season as well. Again, injuries affected this group, and the fact that Bramer took the reins and became such a really good receiving threat. But he's worked really hard to be better in the run game too. So it's going to be interesting to see how they move these pieces. Jack Bjorn, I mean, AJ Peter, a lot of people in there that they can slot in and out. And again, that's a part of depth. That's a part of being fresh. And when you feel like a lot of these guys, several of these guys can be high performers, that's huge. Again, at the tight end position, because it gives you so much flexibility in terms of your play calling in the run and the pass.
I apologize. I'm going to circle back to quarterbacks.
That's fine.
I'm just getting bored. No, I'm kidding. You brought up Cooper. It reminded me, Major Cantrell. I've heard he's making some plays. He's a walk-on at quarterback, high school teammates, classmates with, I almost said Ben Bramer because I'm looking at his roster because I was going to pull up and bring that up. Bramer, thank you. My goodness. I'll get there, guys. I promise.
Like fast we'll Freddy. We will fast get, Freddy Raymer.
We will get, we will get there. The train's going to find its way back to the tracks. Major Cantrell was high school teammates with Cooper Alexander. They came here together. I think they're rooming together as well at Iowa State. But I've heard big things about him and probably bigger things about Cooper and how big of a beast he has been for the tight ends coming into things. He's the highest rated recruit in all of the class last season. I think he committed, I think, 10 minutes before hot laps when I was at Huset's for their big race of the year.
It's interesting
how you chart.
Milestone,
I remember, I remember where I was at. Yeah, it's if I was watching a game or doing something, I'm very much like Chris in this, and I can tell you exactly what day that was, stuff like that.
Only relative to racing, though.
It depends if I was watching a race or a Stars game. I can tell you where I was at when.
What about Indoor Football League?
Yeah, there's some of those
that would
too.
Be in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the game, the Barnstormers blank.
Yeah. Grant Rohatch beat the Nebraska Danger.
There you go.
Former Cyclone. Now, Ben Bramer. I want to bring him up too. He's up to 240 pounds. Mm. That was in plan, obviously, if that was obvious.
And he might even be a little bit bigger. I mean,
I think these measurements were
at 250.
At the start of spring, and I know they were building him up, right? Yep. So, and if he can take that next step, because that was, you're 6'7". I mean, JJ Cole is 6'7", 250,
yep.
You know, as is. Ben getting that size to him is going to help him tremendously on the field this season.
Yeah, and he said the main thing is putting that size on, you know, how good the strength staff is, how good the nutrition folks are. They're really putting on good weight. So they're really being cognizant of he moves so well that you don't want to lose one iota of that. And so far, even though he's been layering on weight, presumably pretty much all muscle, that has not negatively impacted his ability to move and get downfield. So that's nothing but a positive because, again, he'll tell you he was probably okay in pass pro and in the run game, but he wants to excel there like he did as a pass catcher. And by all accounts, he's well on his way.
Absolutely. Getting over to wide receivers, I think Iowa State fans have a lot to be excited about this season. Jalen Knoll, and as you guys read, I think this was in the premium. It isn't unknown information. Jalen Knoll has been like the unsung, I don't want to say surprising, because I feel like a leader's always been a good leader. And once you take that step and you're in the position to lead, then you start being a good leader, right? You don't change anything about yourself to do that if you're a good leader. But I've heard great things about Jalen Knoll being a captain for this wide receiver room. Obviously, Jaden Higgins looks like, and especially in the Liberty Bowl, looked like an NFL type wideout. I think he can be an NFL wideout for sure. And then you have Isaiah Alston, Benny Ngoyi, and Daniel Jackson. I've heard good things about all three of them. And that's kind of your supplemental pieces at wide receiver right now, whether they take steps up or steps. I don't want to say steps down. Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever happens along the way, going into the season, though, you have, you know, five guys that kind of look like they're capable of having a really, really strong receiving core to pad with this offense.
Yeah. I mean, Jaden Higgins just missed a 1,000-yard season a year ago.
We thought he was going to get there during the Liberty Bowl, remember?
Yeah, just ran out of time.
It was like the third 60-yard completion he got.
Yeah, no one could contend with him. A stat I put in article I wrote about, I think it more centered a little bit on Knoll because he was there, that availability. But Knoll tied for third nationally last season in receptions of 60 plus yards with three, and Higgins was tied for 19th with two.
So I was wrong. There wasn't five, three in the Liberty Bowl.
Well, that's,
I think I meant to say 40. You get the point.
Hyperbole is okay. because these guys, they deserve it. And I think Higgins is morphing into a leader as well after, getting in, transferred in, of course, performed like he performed. And they say Jalen's a bit more vocal. Jaden's a bit more lead by example type, but that's perfect to have your lead dogs more or less be complement each other that way. And that's something they said that they feel like they do from a leadership perspective, but they certainly do it from a production perspective as well. And then when you, forgetting what the tight ends bring in terms of receiving, Coach Campbell made a point to highlight Benny Ngoyi as a guy who was having a great spring. Two scrimmages ago, did not have a really good day, and then came back to their last scrimmage, the one that spanned something like 125 plays, and just was outstanding. So that's where they're talking about trying to create adverse situations for guys. Some of them are going to arise organically, and it sounds like it did to some degree for Benny. And they've been raving about him since he got on campus. I mean, and we saw some catches he made.
I think he had a big play in the spring game last season.
He might have.
I'm almost positive it could have been the open practice. Could have been the year before at an open practice. So don't quote me on either of those. If you want to go back and find, I probably tweeted it at some point. But
yeah, they love him. Daniel Jackson being back is huge. And if, you know, you hope he can stay healthy.
That's another leader guy too, with his story and what he's been through to, still be playing. And he stuck around because he wanted to stick around. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big thing for that room, especially with all the young guys they got coming up in it.
And then Isaiah Alston with the 6'4", 195. And people think Akeem Butler, right? With him, I don't want to say being stuck at Army, because I think it's a military family. And I think he was really proud to be at the academy there at West Point, but not going to pass the ball much there. So he averaged 25 yards a catch.
He's
making big plays all over the place.
He had respectable wide receiver transfer portal numbers while playing at Army. And I felt like that got overlooked a little bit out there.
Yeah. And then they put the post out on social media where he's doing the one hand grab, completely reminiscent of Akeem, who's now doing to get in the UFL. You wonder if you'll get another NFL chance after the last one with the Steelers didn't work out, but either way, just the type of athlete you want to have on the outside. And, he can play Jalen in the slot. He can swing outside if you want to. Jaden, you can play him in the slot, but he's mostly going to be outside. And then you talk about Daniel Jackson. Also, you can put him all over the field. And I haven't even touched on Kai Black, Jason Essex guys they were high on last year, and they've been mentioned this spring, but that's a crowded room too. And I mean, that's a theme. I mean, they've got depth that they're happy with, and it keeps growing year after year after year. And that's what you have to have if you're going to continue to pile up winning seasons after the one hiccup a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And I think that's a sign of this team, right? I know we're Cyclone fanatic and we're just talking through what we've heard, and there's no reason for a coach to come up and tell me that this player sucked this spring.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's absolutely zero, and no one, I probably wouldn't repeat it on here if I heard that too. But no, it's this team is going to have a lot of expectations. It might be, you would say that Purdy team's the most, and I would think that there's a few other teams that I could find, you know, going back that probably had a little bit more expectations than this team, but this team still is going to have a ton, especially with the schedule they have, the amount of, you know, programs they finished above last year that they're playing, and the lower amount of, you know, contenders or favorites going into the year, assumingly. And that's pre-portal, pre this summer, pre-fall camp. But as things stand, you know, going into the year, everyone's going to be pretty high on this team.
Yeah, I would think, will they be picked top five in the Big 12? I think they should be. They might not be, but I think they should be based on what they have coming back. What's interesting is when the expectations have been sky high, let's put it this way.
That's
this,
why Iowa State fans shy this, away from the sky high this, expectation.
This
thing.
Team has a chance to be the first team to really live up to those expectations from a outcome,
didn't,
a result.
Didn't the other teams have the same chance?
They had a chance, but
yeah, they didn't.
I'm saying
they, didn't
live up. They have a chance to do what to the outdo, others
yeah.
didn't do.
Absolutely. I confuse. I get Rob's train off the tracks more than
last,
I do my
the
own,
last Purdy is. Team ended up 7-6, right?
Yeah.
And they were loaded. Charlie Kohler still there. Really good guys on defense. Will McDonald. I mean, what, Hummel? Is that Hummel's senior year?
I believe so.
I mean, so that's a loaded team. And that started the trend of losing so many close games, which extended to the next thing, and obviously extended in the 4-8 season, mm-hmm. started to reverse that pretty significantly last season. If they can continue to do that, you know, the high expectations are, you know, there's a chance that they are warranted, but there's a chance that they can, you know, finally be filled again from a results standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to pick up the pace a little bit because I think we spent a lot on the first half of the offense. Haven't even gotten the offensive line yet. I've heard very good things about, Dylan Barrett, the Wisconsin transfer. I've heard he has came in and from day one just impressed people. I think we'll see on Saturday what the offensive line looks like. I have an idea. But it's a lot of the guys are being coached to play multiple positions. I know Clanton's philosophy has always been, I'm going to coach them to play everything. I don't know if that's necessarily going on because we keep hearing about Jared Hufford's working at center a little bit. I don't think every guy is necessarily learning every single position, but they're learning how to play.
I think it's pretty close to that.
Yeah, it's as close as it can be for sure.
James Neal talked about it a little bit. You know, Clanton, the quote violence and versatility maxim that he throws out there, I think is real. Like I said, it's not necessarily you work a bunch of guys out at center because Jim Boniface was really good last year, I thought. Mm.
And I've heard he's right there toe-to-toe with Barrett. Not that they're going against each other to start, not in that conversation, but as in like, you know, how much are they impressing? How much are they developing? Stuff like that.
Yep.
They're not really talking about position battles, you know, this far away from the season at this spot.
Yeah, keys, obviously, the line up and down, to put it mildly, last season. Part of that, I think, was how they're meshing with true freshman running backs in the run game. Not pretty good in pass pro, if not very good, almost all season. But then Daylon Hassert, who got hurt, wasn't able to really contribute. They were high on him. He's presumably fine.
Brendan Black played at a very talented high school football team.
Tough as nails. They talk about him. So you're starting to see a little bit more of that depth. Hufford coming back is huge. You mentioned him.
We talk about Jalen Travis?
Not yet.
I mean, that's 6'9", 315. That's all. Yeah. I mean, let's see. In Dylan Barrett, 6'5", 320. And there's a lot of Tyler Miller, 6'9", 335. Iowa State's got the size this year for, I think, the first time in a long time that I can remember. Everyone's been super, you know, over 300 and,
yeah,
you know, assumed to be pretty decent.
Yeah, and we hear it about every year. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm trying to think back because I'm thinking like there's got to be a team.
They look like a different football team in terms of how big, how strong, in some cases, how fast they are. But that's what we're hearing. And, you know, that offensive line needs to take another step. And again, if it does, then these again, another, and that's another layer to these expectations being warranted and not being something to worry about.
Well, and if it doesn't, then we'll endure like 8 weeks of BS from fans on Twitter, and then week 9 against BYU, and when they just run over them, and then the snowmageddon, we'll have another snow game, and they'll do the same thing, and we'll get the last laugh.
Get then, to Rob. A bowl game, and then they can't run again.
I think the line was beat up by the end of the year. That was my, you know, uneducated guess, maybe watching from afar, and just how they were moving as a unit kind of went away in the bowl game. And I don't know the reason for that. But I thought week 7 or game 7 to game 12, like they continued to get better each, you know, I think they took a step back in the middle there a little bit and it was kind of a roller coaster, but I thought towards the end of that season, they really took steps forward.
Yeah. I think post Ohio game was one of the big moments. Jared Huffert said, we've had enough. And, you know, they still, again, had some rough games, including the bowl game where they couldn't move the ball on the ground, but that's not all on them.
Yeah.
So
I'm only laughing because you just brought it up again. You're good. Keep going. Sorry.
So I think we've covered
enough
on the O-line.
Yeah. No, you're good. Sorry about that. Defensive line. Couple of guys to keep your eyes on. Obviously, Kennard Snyder, the transfer from Louisiana Monroe. I've heard great things. He looks like just a monster. I can't wait for him to get a sack at Jack Trice Stadium. That will be a fun thing to watch. I can only assume he's got a great celebration. Every photo on the ULM roster page, when I assume it's deleted now, but I remember when I was doing research on him, I was like, this guy's always celebrating. Every shot was like him doing the big pose and everything like that. I can't wait to see him get out there.
Yeah, they've said a ton of great things about him and his ability not only to be mostly pertaining to the pass rush, but I think Coach Campbell talked about having heavy hands in the run game. And, you know, when you can get guys at generally who are going to be on the edge that can really help in run support and not just be flying off to the side, you know, where the DTs and the linebackers have to clean up every time, that they can clean up themselves. That's huge. But I mean, Ike Eziogu last year.
Now, I don't think there's a guy we've heard more good things about.
Yeah, and we saw some good things too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Trent Jones, they talked about him this year. Samir Hawk, I'm sure, you know, for great things about him, you know, 6'3", 300-pound redshirt freshman out of New Jersey. And then you've got, you know, veterans like J.R. Singleton and Joey Peterson, and Dom Orange is now a veteran, you know, as a junior beast up the middle there. So again, a group that's Campbell said he feels really good about what they can do in terms of pass rush. And even though we don't recognize all, you know, Samuel Same, good things about him, Tyler Onyedem back. I mean, this is another deep group that's done a lot of good things, and we'll see again how that translates and what the mix is like, and we'll get a glimpse of it at spring ball. But they're going to be moving a lot of guys in and out. That's Coach Rashid's MO, and he's got the guys to do it.
Yeah, and that's 8 guys that you just named, all that have stood out in their own way.
And Miles Mendezun, he's made plays. And
yeah,
so I mean,
he's moving from linebacker to left end, right end, edge type of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how that goes. They like him a lot, and they like his effort, personality, stuff like that, that I've heard about him. And doesn't mean he wasn't working out at linebacker or whatnot, but he makes a position change, and they've had success, the staff has, with changing guys' positions.
For sure.
We'll see how it turns out. Absolutely. I'm not claiming he's going to be the next Joel Lanning at left edge, but we'll see what happens, I guess. I'm excited to see him on the field and see what he can do. I've heard Caleb Bacon at linebacker is still winning every practice drill.
Yeah.
Just normal Caleb Bacon stuff to do.
Yeah. Former walk-on, obviously incredible last season, whether it be tackles for loss, sacks, I mean, getting hands on balls. I mean, that guy is been dynamic. And again, hearing great things about him again, you know, we saw Jack Sadowski start as a true freshman, which is hard to do. You know,
attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry. Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website, thinkdifferentthinkkeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, thinkdifferentthinkkeen.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How big is that now that Carson Willich went now with a seemingly Campbell kind of left it open on?
Yeah.
He said, I'd be surprised if he wasn't out for the season.
But then he was saying stuff like, we may not have him back till next fall, not just next season, but next fall. So yeah, that was, I think we should just safely assume that with the torn ACL that Carson is out.
If he plays this year, the Stone Cold Steve Austin music will be.
It should be.
Stands.
But I mean, in another position where this quote unquote Campbell calls them young pups, Will McLaughlin, he's done a lot. Redshirt sophomore, you know, he's back. They're high on John Klosterman out of Iowa City.
Cooper Ebel.
Iowa City High. Cooper Ebel.
When
is
I do those,
big name.
Yeah. If you guys in the fall, please read my stuff. Let me know what you think. In the fall, I do like everyone that's committed to Iowa State. Usually the class is just about solidified, if not completely done, as you know, aside from this guy or this guy, by the time high school football season starts. So every Saturday morning, I'll look up at how guys did in high school. And I think we have a player of the game in there. I got to look at the format. We're player of the week, I should say. I don't love doing that. You guys know my opinions on awards and stuff like that, but Cooper Ebel just went off in high school, and I guess he's doing the same type of stuff here. But for his, he played a 1A school or 8 player, I want to say.
Hartley Melvin Sam.
That's the one. Yeah. Yep. HMS, Hendrick Motorsports. That's how I remember how to look it up on Varsity Bound. Shout out to those guys. But he did everything for that school. Punter, running back, quarterback, you know, just guy that played every position, like natural athlete. I'm expecting that to come up, and I hate that Carson Willich went down, but I would assume that brings, I'm not saying Cooper was right there and only behind Carson Willich, but that brings Cooper more opportunity this year. We'll see how he does.
Well, Campbell made a point to bring him out as a guy who's really, really come on and has really been impressive. So I think he had already earned a fair amount of playing time in his own right outside of special teams, and we'll see. I mean, he still got Jacob Ellis, Zach Lovett, who was a good spy at times last year. Again, a lot of different pieces that do guys who do different things allows you to do the line changes and to keep everybody fresh. And, you know, another group, Campbell made a point when I asked about Jack Sadowski to say linebackers is a group that's been as impressive this spring, winter into spring as any group out there.
And I've heard everybody just Colby Kratch is beast. That is what I was. That's a quote.
With a name like Colby Kratch, you know you're going to be one heck of a linebacker's coach.
You're not going to be soft. You're not going to be soft.
No, not in the least.
Let's get down to defensive backs. At least the cornerback spot. Jontez Williams is. I mean, every time I ask about anyone, his name gets brought up. I think there was a couple games where he was kind of behind last year. He's a little bit off, and I think people were quick to write off whoever was replacing Malik when he was out and different things like that. But why did I say Malik? I meant, you guys get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But Jontez, obviously, you know, you go through a year in the program, and then the next year is kind of where you take that step. And I think people were kind of waiting on that a little bit. And I think he's outperformed everyone's expectations this spring.
Yeah. I mean, and I asked him about his swagger level on a scale of 1 to 10. And he said, it's a 30. So, I mean, I don't really like the 110% stuff when people say they're going to give 110%.
Well, swagger level.
Cause that's a good number. This is 300% of the top, the tippity top. So, I really respect that.
All right. So over under 6.5 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
Oh, see, now the swagger doesn't necessarily transfer into those types of penalties.
How many interceptions do you have to allow to have Coach Campbell allow you to rack up 7 unsportsmanlike conducts throughout the season?
Well, I probably a dozen.
Double the.
You might have to be like
2-1 ratio. Yeah, yeah. You
know, a minimum of 2-1. But I don't think that's what he was implying.
No,
necessarily. He'll talk trash like any good corner will. But yeah, nothing but good things from him. Again, it was his redshirt freshman season last season. You're playing behind TJ Tampa, or occasionally maybe inserted him on Miles' side when Miles wasn't out there, and he made some great plays.
Yeah, I didn't want to say for sure he was just out there on whichever end.
Had some not so great.
And then plays. I said Malik instead of TJ's name.
Yep, and that's fine. But to have him with an experienced senior like Miles Purchase on the other side, Miles, who went through his own, you know, low point last season, came back really strong. Both big guys, thick guys, 5'11", so you don't have all the length. But, oh, by the way, you've got Darian Porter, now more experienced at the corner position. It can be mixed in back there at 6'4", with his wingspan and his speed. And his that guy knows football frontwards, backwards, every which way now. And they're extremely high on him, too, not to mention a ton of young guys, too. So I think they feel really good at corner, despite losing a guy of TJ Tampa's caliber. But remains to be seen, because, you know, Darian still hasn't had a lot of snaps at corner, and he was really good at times. He had a couple where he didn't quite react. Maybe he wanted just like John Tez, but I mean, that added experience again, the winter, spring.
So many guys, they're really
high on those guys.
And so many guys that, you know, they were there last year, but they weren't necessarily there, that get another year under their belt in the same program, coming back to a roster they were at last year. In this era of NIL and transfer portal and all that stuff, very rare. And that's kind of a big proponent of the big expectations that we're talking about. Nope. And then I will go into Bo Freeler, Jeremiah Cooper, and Malik Verdon are all also back.
Yeah, that's a pretty
massive.
That's a pretty good core for your safety group. And, you know, they like the young guys there too. In fact,
is that your top three players on the defense?
I think you have
to. If I had to power rank them, like gun to my head.
I think you have to say yes. With the caveat of Malik, of course, not being able to remotely get in a full season so far. But if he can, again, do that, you know, he gives you that length like a Porter, but extremely aggressive, both against the run and in defending the pass. And he stays healthy, man. That safety, I mean, you saw them get exposed a few times on deep balls last year, but sometimes it was they were there and they just get tangled up a little bit. I mean, we all saw what Cooper did in terms of interceptions. Freeler got his share. Those guys are going to be ball hawks again, and that's just an incredible dynamic to have when you're working in some younger guys like Jameson Patton into the D-back room, who was really good at times last year too. Drew Sergis, the former walk-on, a lot of guys in that group that they're high on. Again, that's our theme. That's spring, right? We're not going to sit here and go, oh, but the offensive line this, but
I hope someone's going to message me and be could you give a little constructive criticism to anybody?
In spring, hope springs eternal, and there's really there's nothing to refute it.
I wish they will be undefeated for the next 4 or 5 months,
for quite a while.
Yeah.
I mean, winning seasons, what, since 2017, there's only been one losing season.
That you're doing a real stat. I'm doing the baseball team stat.
So the proof's kind of in the pudding, but you know, again, not going to learn much, but all those names we mentioned, which is a lot of names, they're really high on all those guys. So I think it'll be fun to watch, not just the frontline guys come in that, you know, but guys you don't know. And then even a layer beyond that, guys that we are not even talking about that are going to start to get reps and start to work their way into special teams units and all those things.
Absolutely. And there is one thing that I think we can for sure look for on Saturday. See if Kyle Conrardi can hit a long field goal. I'm sure they situationally will just go practice. I mean, that's what field goal kickers are supposed to do. I know it's a spring game. They're not trying to win the game. There will be a situation. And I've heard this kid's a stud. I've heard very good things about Conrardi in just what he's been able to do so far in practice. I know Chris tipped you guys off on that in premium as well. But just it's tough to land like on a really good walk-on and like Caleb Bacon and then go back to, well, Surges obviously as well. And then the other kickers that Iowa State's had that have been walk-ons that panned out. And it's really crazy what the staff has been able to do with walk-ons. And I'm excited to see Conrardi kick in game action.
Yeah. I mean, kicking game last year was one of the big reasons that special teams was so much significantly better. You know, probably quadrupled the number of touchbacks, you know, so you'd take away those return opportunities. You know, they were leaving so many short the previous season and it just bit them.
Well, and I think what, 6-7 games where he's almost automatic. Why can't Contreras? Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. he had the fake
was
play.
13 or 14 at one point.
Yeah. Yes. You're exactly
in Big
right.
12 play.
Yes. I think he might have missed one in the Ohio game, if I remember right. So. I think it was after that when that stretch started. But, I mean, Iowa State, I hope you guys appreciated Chase Contreras while he was here, because I know the people that have been watching Iowa State football as long as we have been dreaming of a season like that from a kicker.
Yeah, well, since Meavis.
Since Culberson. Meavis is there. I agree. What screws me up is I was so young and impressionable when Culbertson was a senior. I think he's the greatest kicker of all time. Yeah. And that's just like how it is in my head. Cause I've never gone back and looked at his stats. Like, don't want to meet my hero.
Yeah.
I just want to keep it up there. Like he's viewed as like, if you can go out and not miss a field goal all season, then you pass Brett in my eyes. In my, what was I, 10 years old?
Yeah, Meavis.
9 years old when Meavis he was playing.
Right. They chanted his name after winning at Kansas State. That's the memory I'll always have. They were chanting the name of the kicker. You don't hear that every day.
You don't, no.
But I mean, special teams should again be pretty good. Coverage units I don't think have ever been that off under Cam, but certainly there have been those mistakes, whether it be in the kick game or whether it be punts getting blocked and all that. And it feels like they started to clean up a lot of those things last season. Look like, you know, they're on track to continuing to do better in those areas this season as well.
Yeah, if you've gotten this far in the podcast, I know you're a diehard. So you guys out there listening still probably know about the special team situation. Just because there isn't a bona fide special teams coach, I think they're working on it more as a staff, and different coaches have different inputs, which that's how they want to do it. That's why there isn't a special teams coach, because that's what
there was last season.
There was last season, yes. And
so if special teams take a step back,
there's still room to improve there.
Fans are going to say, well, you didn't have anyone devoted. But again, also was running backs coach. So, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, he was doing halves and halves.
Yeah.
He spent all his energy on Abu Sama.
The bottom line is whether there is a named special teams person at Iowa State coordinator, whatever you want to call it. There's always a lot of people working together in that regard, whether there's a title for it or not.
And you get Tyler Perkins back. Not too shabby of a punter.
Pretty good.
Didn't he outkick Torrey Taylor a few times last year?
He did.
I think we had a total yard scoreboard going like 3 weeks in the season. Just as a joke. I always play around with stuff. I'm like, do I want to light the Cy-Hawk fire on Twitter today?
Perkins was really good as a freshman, even better last season. And
if he takes another step, we're gonna have to expand Jagtri Stadium. Yep. He's kicking the ball too far.
It might not be worth that expense. He can maybe use a little bit of touch to drop it inside the 10 a little bit more frequently, but he's good at that already. But wow, we've really gone off the rails here, Connor, thanks to you.
I wanted to cover every corner of the spring game, and I think we did it thanks to the guys at A+ Natural Lawn Care.
Absolutely.
Appreciate them for sponsoring, and thank you guys for listening. Are we good? You got anything else?
I think we're good. We talked about returners a little bit with Jalen and Jalen. So I think we're good.
All right. Well, we will hopefully we see you guys out at the spring game Saturday. Stop us and say hi. I'm sure we'll try to match our hats again. This is a good touch, Rob.
Absolutely.
I'm excited for it. Cannot wait for Saturday. Hope to see you guys at Jack Trice Stadium, 11 a.m. kickoff. And thanks again for listening. Appreciate y'all.